at the time, Adam and Eve, they had kids, and we all know the story, Cain and Abel. And what started happening amongst two brothers with hardly anybody on the planet. And they started to battle, they started to fight, they started to quarrel, and one killed the other. And that's humanity when we're starting out, right? And then we also see it with Solomon. Solomon, when we know the story of this, Solomon, two moms, they have a newborn baby, and two moms are fighting and quarreling over this baby. And one lady saying, "This is my baby," and the other one says, "This is my baby." And in Solomon's wisdom, we know the story, he couldn't determine who the right mother was. So he said, "Well, let's get the sword out, and we'll split that baby down the middle, and then one mom can have it, and then the other mom can have it." Well, we all know that the one mom wasn't the mom. Said, "Great idea." The other mom was like, "No, that's my full of love and compassion for her child, wanted her child to live." So we all know this fighting and this quarreling takes place from this desire. And if you look at those two women, there was a desire and an envy harbored up in the one woman, and also with Cain and Abel, the same type of thing. They have this harbored up envy and desire of bitterness that's in their life, that's harbored there, sitting there in their heart. And James is telling us, where's our heart? What's in our heart? Is it full of this bitter envy and this selfish ambition? And so many times it's yes, that's our problem. What's our motive? What's our motive in our thought process when we pray? When we pray to the Lord, James is saying, you pray to the Lord, you ask, but you don't get. And we're praying, first we don't pray, right? We, so many times, going back to last week, we look at our earthly wisdom and not our heavenly wisdom, and we're using our motives based on our earthly wisdom. James is saying you need to use your heavenly wisdom, because you're coming to God. He's saying, Jewish believers who are scattered, you're coming to the Father, and you don't really trust Him. You don't really believe on what you're asking. And if you do, you're coming to the Lord with the wrong motive. So you're asking, but all you're trying to do is get things to spend on yourself. What's your motive? And we all do this, right? How many times I've been in my tree stand saying, okay, Lord, especially younger, Lord, you just bring that big buck my way. You know, it's a selfishness. It usually doesn't happen. But we ask. We don't have the correct motives. We want to spend things on ourselves. James is specifically pulling out here on money issues. Because it's not on praying for health or healing or something like that, because he's talking about spending it on yourself, spending things on our own self. Our motivation isn't correct. We ask from selfish ambition. You see this a lot with what they call the prosperity gospel. You know what that is, right? So there's churches. I don't know how many churches, but there's churches all around the world that believe in this prosperity gospel. Well, and which says, let's say I was a prosperity gospel pastor, and you'd say, "Hey, Dallas, give me your $300 today. If you give $300 today, the Lord is going to bless you with $3,000 if you just give your $300 today." And that's a lot of the prosperity gospel, is that if you give and you buy into giving this tithe, which we are supposed to do, right, as believers, we're supposed to tithe and we're supposed to help and we're supposed to give to our local churches. And so that's a command that we are to do, but then they twist it. People twist it into this motivation. The motive is just off course. The motive should be we're giving to the church. And there's some pastors out there, and I'm not knocking on pastors, and don't, but some are very wealthy because they've had book items and book deals, and they're in business, and that's fine. But there's some who are just sucking off of prosperity gospel and taking money, and it's based on the wrong motive. The wrong motive. They want to spend it on themselves. James is saying, your motive, you're asking, and then you don't get because we're asking with the wrong motive. With the wrong motive. So even now, just kind of going off course here, but we pray for our church here. Our motive, what's our motive? The motive in my world isn't just to have people into these pews. The motive, what my thinking is, people need to be saved. People need to be taught God's word. That's why we want people in here. That's why we want community members to come in here to hear God's word, to help each other grow in Christ. That's what church is for, not just to fill up a church. That's, James didn't say that, just kind of came out of nowhere, but anyway. Verse 4 and 5. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. An enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely, but He gives us more grace? That is why Scripture said God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We're an adulterous people. We're not pure. Last week there was a list of things about earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. And we brought out the adulterated things that aren't pure. That's what James is saying too. We are an adulterated people. We're choosing to be friends with the world. We're choosing to pick up the earthly wisdom more than we're choosing to pick up our heavenly wisdom. We have this problem. We're not pure. Years ago, I sold popsicle sticks. So, I mean, who's held a popsicle stick? Everyone, I hope, has held a popsicle stick in there, either through crafts or eating a good ice cream cone or a popsicle. So one day, I was at my desk, and I get this call, and it was a guy at the dairy. And unfortunately, you're probably going to hear a lot of food stories coming out of me, being from the food industry. So this guy called, and he said, "Jeff, we have a problem." He said, "You know, one of the popsicles blew the metal detector line. It set off the metal detector, so it kicked it out." I said, "What are you kidding?" So we went and found out, and I wish I would have kept this popsicle, but here in that popsicle, so here is just this little popsicle stick. Inside of the popsicle stick was a BB. Inside the popsicle stick. So a popsicle is made, they're actually from northern Maine. They're birch, it's birch wood. And when you go up, there's forests up there in northern Maine that are full of birch. And they take these big logs after they're harvested, and they put them on these veneering machines, and they'll spin the log out to like an eighth of an inch or 3/16 of an inch or whatever, and spin out this flat wood that's spun off veneered, and then they stamp out whatever they're making. And these were popsicles. So years ago, somebody was out in the woods hunting grouse or turkey. Since Bradley and I were just talking about turkey season, made me think maybe they were hunting turkey. But they picked up their shotgun, shot into the woods, and hit the sapling, and the BB goes into that wood, and the the woods, the tree grows, and how many years later this tree's harvested, it's veneered, it's cut down into this popsicle, and it ends up in some guy's factory, and it blows out the metal detector, and it's simply because that popsicle stick was not pure. It was adulterated. And James is telling us, we are that. We are an adulterated bad popsicle. That's what he's saying. We're choosing so many times to be friends with the world. So many times we pick up and we start to worry. Or we pick up and we look, well, maybe, you know, there's something going on in our family, or my kids are strayed, or however that looks, and we begin to worry, and we pick up this wisdom from the earth and not the heavenly wisdom that we're supposed to be carrying. And we choose to be friends of the world. We're in the world, right? And we're prayed for the world, and we're supposed to be salt in the world. We're supposed to minister to people in the world. We're supposed to share Jesus' love to people in the world because we are in the world. But we are not supposed to be choosing to be friends with what the world is dishing out when it comes to morality, when it comes to how we should be living, taking care of people. Our mindsets should be set on not earthly, but a heavenly. We need to be pure, not adulterated, not spiritually compromised. How do we do that? So many times we find ourselves back and forth on, I know I do, how many times that something comes up and we know what we should do, and so many times we think, well, let me do it this way. God will understand. And our motive, it goes back to our motive, that we're choosing the wrong motive. We're choosing a motive based on what we think is right, on our earthly wisdom. And we try to fool God, which is silly, right? Because if we are believers and we have the Spirit within us, that's dwelling within us, He knows all aspects of us, and we try to fake God out, that usually doesn't happen, right? Because He knows our motive. So what do we do? Verse 7 and 8. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Submit. James talked about that last week as well. Submitting ourselves to God. I think that's probably a very hard thing many times, but that's our problem. So we look at the picture up there and our motives. So many times it's hard for us to put down the things that we're harboring that's sitting there in this, you're docked on it, and it's festering. And we kind of like it there, and we just let that thing sit. Because so many times, we don't listen to the Spirit within us, and we don't want to submit our life, our full life, to God. And I think that's what James is saying. First, you need to submit yourself to God. That popsicle stick, pop it out. First, you need to work yourself on your spiritual commitment towards the Lord. You need to submit yourself to God. James is telling us, and he's telling these early Christian Jews the same exact thing. He says, resist the devil. Because people think, well, going back to that prosperity type of gospel, well, if you did, and everything's going to be great. How many times do we know of, we submit ourselves to God? Is the world great now? I mean, look what happened to all the apostles. Was it great for them? Most of them all were murdered. Was it great for Jesus by submitting himself to God's plan? They hung him on a tree. We know that was the plan, but he had to submit to that. The prosperity gospel, based on the motive for Jesus is for us to take care of and love others, just as Jesus loved us and gave himself for us. God wants us to submit ourselves to him in that same manner. So life doesn't get perfect. It doesn't. It can actually get hard then, because now all of a sudden we're not choosing the earthly wisdom. We're choosing trying to live a pure heavenly wisdom, and becomes difficult. Resist the devil. So once we submit, we are still supposed to continue to walk a walk of resisting the devil. We know that the devil just doesn't stop. Hey, we become a Christian. We try to put our motives on the right path. We try to reach our neighbors, and we try to help our family, and we try to minister to people in our community. And our motives, what's our motives? Because Satan doesn't want us to be there. So we are supposed to continue to resist the devil. And this is what we do now. Submit to God. James is saying, if you resist the devil continually, that it's a process that we're resisting the devil, that he will flee. We need to be persistent. Come near to God. Well, verse 7, submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We need to resist the devil in our daily walk, with our thought process and our motives. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. That's pretty cool. I mean, if you think about what, kind of think about that verse this week. Here's God, the creator of all things. And we have an opportunity as people, a part of his creation, right? We have the opportunity to come near to him. And James is saying if we come near to him, he's going to come near to us. That's pretty huge. I mean, you think about that. So here's God. Been around since he is everything, formed the whole everything, the universe, the earth, the stars, the galaxies, water, lava, you know, everything, wind, snow, wisdom, you know, we know that he, and it's mind-blowing that we have this opportunity, that we can be near to God, and he's willing to be near to us. That's huge. And so many times we're picking up and saying, well, you know, hey, we would rather pick up this earthly wisdom. We would rather choose to be friends with the world. If them become back. Yet, principles that God wants us to live by, not for his sake, but for our sake. And that's what we forget so many times. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. You know, I pray that that I don't forget that, at least when I submit. Consistently when we submit, consistently when we resist the devil, try to think of that God coming near to us. That's big. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. the double-mindedness. Once again, it's going back to this man, that this human that we are, because we want to pick up the earthly wisdom and we want to pick up the heavenly wisdom, and we're double-minded and we're stuck on what's in our harbor, what's our motive, and we're stuck with all these things going on. Like the cartoons, so many times the cartoons that I used to watch as a kid, where you had the evil guy over here and then the angel over here speaking into your ear. That's how we are all the time. We're double-minded. Which way do we go? What should we do? And so many times we're not picking up the correct thing. And James is saying, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify our hearts. We need to purify our hearts. We need to walk in a way that's worthy to be pure and not an adulterous people. We need to walk our life where we're not picking up the constant choosing of the worldliness that is all around us. And that's the hardest part, right? That's the hard thing to do. Because we all want to pick stuff up, even if we think we can control it better than God. We're not. We want to pick that up. So what's our motive this week? Think about what our motives are. Are we humbling ourselves before God? Are we submitting our life, no matter what we do, our work, our family life, our hobbies, Bradley, ride motorcycle, those types of things can all be used for the glory and honor of God. He's gifted us in so many ways that we can honor Him. Are we willing to submit what we do in our life to God? And then continue to resist the devil. Let's not be double-minded. And this week, as we think about just so many of these things that take place in our life, let's think about our community. We're coming up on Easter. We know that Jesus loves everyone around here. He loves all of us. Let's be open to reach people where they are the next couple weeks, especially as people are searching. Let's submit ourselves to God and continue to resist the devil. And let's humble ourselves before the Lord. If you've never submitted your sinful nature and given it to the Lord, then talk to me afterwards. I'll be right here. Love to talk to you about salvation, about Jesus Christ. Any questions? I said before, you can tackle me outside. That's what my purpose is to tell people about Jesus. So that's where we want to end up with that. So let's just close out in prayer this morning. Father God, I thank you for being willing, God, to come near to me. You know that I am a sinful person. You indwell my life, and you know my thoughts and my motives, and you know what I have in the harbor, you know my selfish ambition. So many times my selfish ambition sometimes runs to court. And you know me. You know all of us. And I thank you that you are willing to come near to me. Help me to continue to submit my life to you. Help me, Lord, to just want to continue to pick up your principles in my life. Help me to just maintain those thought processes, Lord. Help me to use that wisdom that you want us to use. And help me not to be double-minded, even though we are double-minded. Lord, help this church, help everyone in here that we walk in a humbleness, knowing that you, the Creator, can come near to us. And we ask, Lord, that you will humble us in a way that we dishonor you. And Lord, help us to lift your name before all things and walk that way in principle and in life. I pray for that for everybody here. And all that we do and all our hobbies and all our adventures and all the stuff we do, help us to submit to you and put those things, have those things used by you. Help us to be good servants and ministers of the gospel. In your name we pray. Amen.